Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Well, we now have the smoking gun. The smoking gun about Russian collusion with very, very close ties to Donald Trump, namely his campaign manager, his son, Donald Trump Jr., and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Frankly, you can't get closer to the Trump campaign than those three. Donald Trump has famously not trusted outsiders, whether in the White House or in his campaign. He's relied on family. Family is the closest bond to him. No one could be closer than his son, Donald Trump Jr., or his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who you may recall he has assigned, well, virtually everything from fixing government to giving us peace in the Middle East to at least six other things that I've long forgotten. We now know that Eric Trump Jr. met with a Kremlin-backed lawyer who specifically promised dirt on Hillary Clinton. Now, this is a connection that the Trumps have long had. It has to do originally with a publicist by the name of Emin Agalarov. All of them are very, very close to Vladimir Putin. Remember that Donald Trump was dealing with Vladimir Putin or his aides way back in 2013 when he was setting up the Miss Universe pageant. And he wanted to make a lot of money, as Donald always does. And so he had to work with the people in charge of Russia, namely Vladimir Putin. In fact, he got a nice portion of $14 million off the deal, which reminds me, didn't Donald Trump say he had no business ties to Russia? In any case, apparently the Russians approached Donald Trump. Now, we don't know this for sure. It's unclear. Donald Trump Jr. has lied about it twice in the last 48 hours and then corrected himself on his lies. So there's no reason, frankly, to believe anything about what he has to say about this. But in essence, they came to talk to her about what dirt the Russians could gather on Hillary Clinton. Interestingly, this meeting came right before Donald Trump publicly called upon the Russians to find Hillary Clinton's emails and turn them over to him. Which, if that's not conspiracy to commit espionage, I don't know what is. He's inviting our greatest enemy to break American laws and do so in ways to commit treason, mainly to upturn an American election, which, of course, they did. But let's recall all the different ways that Eric Trump has lied about this just since Saturday, all right? He claimed on Saturday, first of all, he claimed there were no meetings whatsoever. Donald Trump said he had no meetings. Donald Trump Jr. said he had no meetings with the Russians, and certainly no meetings where they discussed anything relating to the campaign. You'll recall that Attorney General Jeff Sessions said he had no meetings, got in trouble when they found out he did, and had to recuse himself from the Russian collusion investigation. Well, Donald Trump Jr. had said that he had no meetings representing the campaign with the Russians. No meetings in a campaign capacity. Now, it's, of course, a tricky thing to say I met in a campaign capacity or a non-campaign capacity. He's Donald Trump's son. He represents Donald Trump's business interests. His name is Donald Trump Jr. I'm quite sure the Russians knew who he was. But he said back in March, quote, "Did I meet with people that are Russian? I'm sure I did, but none that were set up, none that I can think of at the moment, and certainly none that I was representing the campaign in any way, shape, or form." That's a direct quote from Donald Trump Jr. Of course, the meeting was set up. And it was about the campaign. When it came out, the New York Times found out that Trump had met with this Russian lawyer who is very, very close to the Kremlin. Her name, and it's a difficult one to say, so let me try to find it for you. I'm looking as we talk. It is Nitz. Well, let's find it. I'll find it. I want to say her name and say it right. Anyway, let me go on. Let's go through all his lies, because there are a lot of them. First of all, when it was discovered that he had this meeting with this Kremlin lawyer, he said it was about Russian adoptions, not about the campaign, not about sanctions, in fact, except that the adoptions were because of sanctions. You see, ever since Russia illegally invaded Ukraine after violating a treaty signed by Ukraine, Russia, the United States, and Great Britain, promising the territorial integrity of Ukraine. So basically, Russia said, we respect your boundaries before they invaded Ukraine, annexed Crimea, and are currently occupying eastern Ukraine with people they jokingly refer to as the Little Green Men, because they're joking that they're not Russian, but of course they are. They wear Russian uniforms. Sometimes they tear the insignia off. Anyway, President Obama and Congress established sanctions for Russia. And one of the sanctions was for Russian adoptions. And the reason's quite simple. The adoptions bring in a lot of money. Putin basically sells Russian babies and makes a ton of money off of them. And we didn't want to provide money to the Russian regime. People can adopt elsewhere. These adoption sanctions were to punish Putin for his occupation of Ukraine. So this lawyer, who represents business interests in Russia and actively tries, as has been trying for years, to stop the U.S. sanctions because they hurt her clients, who make a lot of money when we deal with the dictator that is Vladimir Putin, a lot of his friends and family, and they make a lot of money through Russian business. And they pay her to try to get Americans not to punish Russia for acting like a dictator. In fact, the Magnitsky Act is older than the Ukraine invasion. It has to do with a guy, a journalist named Magnitsky, who Putin murdered, made disappear. And so that was the first of those sanctions. In any case, she comes to him. She talks to him about sanctions. She talks to him about the campaign. And the enticement is, for the reason the meeting was set up, which of course Trump Jr. denied was set up, was that she had dirt. They had dirt on Hillary Clinton. Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton. Sound familiar? What's interesting, apparently, is that that is what caused Donald Trump Jr. to get into the meeting. Now, again, Donald Trump Jr. has lied about the meeting twice. He lied about the content of the meeting. He said it wasn't related to the campaign. He said it wasn't set up. He said, even Trump said, lying, that there was no contact between Trump associates and Russia during the campaign. I think his son is considered his associate. We have his campaign spokesman saying there was no communication with any foreign entity. Kellyanne Conway said that there was absolutely no contact with the Russians meddling in the campaign. Vice President Pence said, of course not, when asked the question of whether there was Russian meddling. Donald Trump has always said there's no collusion whatsoever. Spicer said it. In fact, Trump Jr. said that suggestions that Russians tried to help Trump are lies. So I want you to think about just that. Donald Trump Jr., within days after meeting with a Russian lawyer backed by Vladimir Putin, someone who does Putin's work all the time, days after meeting with Donald Trump Jr. on the, I don't know if it was a pretext or not, she may have given him information, I don't know, but she met with him and got him in the room on the grounds that Hillary Clinton, the Russians had dirt on Hillary Clinton. A few days after Donald Trump called on the Russians to collect dirt on Hillary Clinton, called on the Russians to use espionage to help him in his campaign. He'd later deny he did this, but he did it publicly. You may well remember it. Days after all of that, Donald Trump Jr. went on CNN, responded to Jake Tapper, and said that, here's the exact quote. Jake Tapper asked him in July 2016, again, this is just days after his meeting with the Russian lawyer. She said that there are experts saying that Russians are behind the leak, the DNC leak, the hacking of DNC emails. It appears to be part of a plot to help Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Your response? Donald Trump Jr., quote, well, it just goes to show you their exact moral compass. I mean, they will say anything to be able to win this. I mean, this is time and time again, lie after lie. It's disgusting. It's so phony. I can't think of bigger lies, but that exactly goes to show you what the DNC, what the Clinton camp will do. They will lie and do anything to win. Of course, this is a few weeks after he met with a Russian lawyer promising dirt on Hillary Clinton. My friends, the smoking gun is here. There's no question that Donald Trump's son and campaign manager and son-in-law, the three closest advisors to Donald Trump, actively tried to get dirt on Hillary Clinton through use of Russian espionage.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if it's hallelujah or I don't know if it's we need a some kind of death music. But the point is, it's not good that they did it, but hallelujah that we found out. And you know what? I never doubted we would. I don't know about you. I find this extremely unsurprising. I have no doubt about the Russian collusion. I'm wondering, why else is Donald Trump trying to protect Mike Flynn? Why is he trying to move on so much? Why did he fire Comey because of the investigation? And here's the real fun part. So now, after lying about it twice within the last 2 days, within the last 48 hours, now Donald Trump Jr. is saying, well, she didn't tell me anything important. Well, maybe she did, and maybe she didn't. It's kind of like the guy that goes in, breaks the door open of a bank, shoots the security guard, breaks through the lock, runs through the vault, and finds the vault is empty. Do we say, oh, I'm sorry, sir, we won't charge you with a crime. You didn't get any money. No, we don't say that. Attempted bank robbery is a crime. Attempted espionage or conspiracy to commit espionage or conspiracy to commit treason to work with a foreign power that there are sanctions against, this particular enemy of the United States, in order to make Donald Trump win, which appears to be successful, by the way. There's no doubt in my mind Hillary Clinton would have won not just the popular vote, but the electoral vote as well, if Russian espionage had not successfully colluded with Donald Trump's campaign to make him president. We have got to get to the bottom of this. And I'm just glad to see the smoking gun is here. But I have a question for you. Were you surprised by this? Does this shock you in any way? Were you expecting this? Because there's some that are surprised by this. I think it's worse. I think we're going to find out more. I think this investigation is just beginning. But hey, let me know what you think. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Rumor has it he quotes the Constitution. Is it Super Nerd? No, it's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Pick up your number two pencils. It's time for Class with Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Got the name of the Russian attorney. I apologize for not memorizing it. It's not the easiest name for me in the world. It is Natalia Veselnitskaya. Natalia Veselnitskaya.
What?
No, that's her name. I don't mock her for her name. I mock her for, being someone who for years has fought against sanctions for human rights abuses. She doesn't fight against human rights abuses. She's fine with the human rights abuses. She just doesn't want any sanctions for it. She wants to encourage human rights abuse. The Magnitsky Act, and I looked that up as well, was named for Sergei Magnitsky. He was not a journalist, as I said, correction here. He was a Russian auditor. He worked for the government. And in 2009, he uncovered corruption. Now, in America, you would think that guy might get a medal for uncovering corruption in the government. Instead, he had a very mysterious death that the Kremlin has yet to explain. He suddenly died, didn't appear sick. In any case, the United States did the Magnitsky Act at that time and said that we would stop Russian adoptions, U.S. adoptions of Russian children until Russia explained What happened there? They never explained. Things, of course, got worse. They invaded Ukraine, violated a treaty they signed with us, as well as Ukraine and Great Britain, and sanctions got even worse. But Veselnitskaya has been working very, very hard to end the sanctions and to help Russian companies do business with the United States, with businessmen like, oh, I don't know, Donald Trump. So this is someone who has been doing this for many, many years. And the denials are almost laughable. Putin saying, I don't know who that is. Trump saying, I don't remember her name. Well, okay, it's Veselnitskaya. It's a tough name. Fair enough. But there's no doubt they met with her. There's no doubt that three, not just one. God, they're not just criminals. They're bad criminals, right? I mean, maybe if one of them had met her somewhere, they could have denied it. But with her, you know, when criminals meet together and conspire, when Paul Manafort and Donald Trump Jr. and son-in-law Jared Kushner all meet with this Kremlin lawyer, this Russian lawyer representing the government's interests and their corrupt buddies, the oligarchs' interests in ending sanctions. When they all meet together, it's really hard for them to deny it. I mean, cops regularly, when they have two criminals that commit a crime together, they put them in separate places and they ask them each about the crime. And usually it's a lot easier to get to the truth that way. Everyone's afraid that everyone else is going to rat them out. So it's time to take Paul Manafort and Trump Jr. and Jared Kushner. It's time to put them all separately, ask them questions. I hope that Robert Mueller's doing that just now. If they refuse to obey a subpoena, well, you can hold them in contempt. You can jail them, in fact, until they talk. And I really hope they're asking questions very soon. Again, Donald Trump Jr. is changing his story twice. But if you lie to the FBI, that's a felony. So it's about time for him to talk. This is serious stuff. And it's amazing to me that in the midst of all of this, Donald Trump is talking about how to make Russia better, how to make things better for Russia. He even talked about a joint cybersecurity that he was going to work on with Vladimir Putin, which is really nice. It'd be kind of like inviting Vladimir Putin to, I don't know, find out our spies at the CIA or at the FBI and maybe work with him or, you know, maybe invite, I don't know, Charles Manson to come in and work, bad metaphor, working on some kind of murder. The point is, Vladimir Putin is the reason we have cybersecurity. He's the reason we have defenses against these kind of crimes. I mean, teaching him how to stop him is a great way to get the Russians in and knowing how to commit more crimes in the future. Remember, it's not just us. They just do this all around the globe. They try to break in, to hack in illegally, to commit espionage into private files and use it to win elections of candidates like Donald Trump who will favor Russian interests at American expense. Even Republicans are mocking Donald Trump's talk about working with Russia on cybersecurity. 888-488-MARK. Is this the end of Donald Trump? 888-488-6275. Right back after this.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I want to explain the Russian adoptions here. And I apologize. I'm just getting up to speed on this myself. So I've got some inaccurate information that I do want to correct. The Magnitsky Act was signed by President Obama back in 2012. And the act itself bars Russian citizens accused of violating human rights from traveling to the U.S. and from owning assets here. So all it does, it's actually pretty minor. It says if you have violated human rights, if you're a mass murderer, okay, if you regularly kill on Putin's behalf, you can't travel to the United States and you can't own property here. Actually, when I read it, it seems kind of lame. Seems very small. It was in response to the Magnitsky Act that Putin barred Americans from adopting Russian children. I knew it was about Americans adopting Russian children, but that wasn't our law. And thank you, Holly Wallace, for the correction. That was the Russians' response to the Magnitsky Act, which, like I said, although it is Russian sanctions, seems to be relatively minor. I mean, why would anyone who committed human rights violations even want to come to the United States, much less own property here? But they, as usual, went way overboard. And all of this, I think, has to go to the claim by Trump that we need to start with a fresh start with Russia. Now, what's interesting is President Obama was criticized by the Republicans, and you know what? By me as well, when he made Hillary Clinton, his Secretary of State, push this big reset button. Remember that stupid public relations thing where they had this button and she's going to push reset? And the claim was, well, George W. Bush couldn't get along with the Russians and maybe we can. And frankly, I criticize, and I love President Obama and I love Hillary Clinton. But I criticized them because I thought they were a bit naive on Russia in 2009. And boy, did they learn how naive they were. After pushing that button, as we know, Putin invaded Georgia, invaded Ukraine, violated a treaty that they'd signed promising to respect Ukraine. A very important treaty. This is the treaty by which Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons. Russia never could have gotten Crimea back if Ukraine had nuclear weapons there. But Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons by a deal signed by the United States and Great Britain and Russia, respecting their boundaries. They invaded Crimea. They invaded eastern Ukraine. They are, of course, they interfered in our elections. I mean, Russia has a long history here. There's a reason why going forward now makes no sense at all. Look at just Syria. It's because of Russia's defense of the brutal, brutal dictator, Bashar al-Assad, who's far more brutal, by the way, even than the North Korean dictator, although I guess it's hard to compare. They're both pretty brutal. But the reason why hundreds of thousands of Syrians have been massacred is because of Assad and because of Russian planes supporting that massacre. They support mass murder, and they support mass murder so they can have a port on the Mediterranean Sea by their client, Syria, by Assad. They can have all their warships there. And because of that, they're willing to let Assad murder hundreds of thousands of innocent Syrians. But Trump wants a fresh start. If Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were mocked in 2009 for what they did, well, it's ridiculous what Donald Trump is saying now. Asking for a fresh start now is, well, kind of like someone who holds you up, puts a gun to your face, takes all your money, and then says, now for a fresh start, I'm going to ask that you not report me to the police. Someone who kills a loved one and says, for a fresh start, I ask that you let me go. And then they keep killing and they keep robbing. Russia doesn't want a fresh start. A fresh start wouldn't help. When someone has committed a crime, they need to be punished. In fact, a fresh start is a license for Vladimir Putin to hack our 2017 elections, our 2018 elections, our 2020 elections. In fact, I think that's what Donald Trump wants. I think Donald Trump is saying to the Russians, hey, you committed espionage to get me elected the first time. I'll bet you can do an even better job in 2020. It's a green light to the Russians. Oh, you want to get involved in our cybersecurity? Fine. We'll let you know all our defenses so you can hack into our systems and basically control the country. It's a really scary thing. Sanctions are there for a reason. And what's interesting is there's a Senate bill passed 97-0, 97 votes out of 100, for tougher sanctions on Russia, largely because, well, among other things, they hacked into our elections. They stole, they commit espionage, they got secret documents from the DNC and others. They found dirt on Hillary Clinton, and their trolls put forward that dirt and some false information to convince a number of naive Americans to vote for Donald Trump. More than enough to make him the president. And yet, 97 members of the Senate, that's got to be at least 49 Republicans, 48 Democrats, agree that we need tougher sanctions on Russia because they recognize, either because they put their country ahead of their party or because they recognize it looks good for politically not to welcome enemy espionage into hacking our elections. So why isn't this pill put before Donald Trump? After all, if it's put before him, he has to either veto it, in which case I'm quite sure they would get a two-thirds override, or sign it, and we have tough sanctions on Donald Trump's best friend, Vladimir. Because the House is holding it up. The Senate did it 97-0, and Paul Ryan isn't moving the bill. So I got a message for members of Congress, and I'm quite sure all the Democrats will do this. In fact, I think they should be doing it right now. I may call Don Beyer on this, my congressman. They need to sign what's called a petition for discharge. Sounds complex, but it's really not that hard. So in the House of Representatives, the majority party decides what legislation is even heard. If they don't want to vote on something like, let's say, Medicare or Medicaid or Social Security, something that's got strong support of the American people, but that the Republican Party doesn't like, they just prevent it from coming up for a vote. The Speaker says, I don't want to have a vote on it, and it doesn't happen. But there is one fail-safe measure, only one. One way to get legislation to the floor of the House of Representatives, even when the Speaker says, I don't want it there. And it's called a discharge petition. And if 218, if a majority of the House of Representatives signs this discharge petition, so let's say all Democrats and 20-odd Republicans who claim to support it, who claim that Russian espionage of the United States bothers them, who claim that even though Russian espionage was used in a treasonous fashion to help Donald Trump be president, they actually claim to love their country more than they want to win a political victory. Republicans across the country claim this. They claim that they love the USA first and they love Donald Trump second. They claim not to support Vladimir Putin, not to support treason, not to support espionage. Well, then why won't they sign their names on the discharge petition? Democrats need to make this argument. They need to make this argument right away. Every Democrat member of the House needs to sign this. Republicans who are worrying about 2018, and they should, will start signing as well. And I guarantee you, when enough people sign a discharge petition, when they get signature number 217 instead of 218, the majority, then Paul Ryan will magically decide, rather than being forced to bring the legislation to the floor, he'll bring it to the floor, and it will pass. And it will pass very, very strongly, because no one will dare vote against it. It will go to Trump's desk, and Trump has two choices. He can either sign it, and we sanction Russia for helping Trump get elected, which Trump doesn't want to do, but he might. Or he'll veto it, and I think we'll get two-thirds override. But this is Democrats' chance, and I think based on this news for Donald Trump Jr., I'm going to ask you when I'm done today to call your member of Congress, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, at 202-225-3121, that's the Capitol switchboard. Ask for your member of Congress. Ask if they've signed on to a discharge petition. That's the magic words, a discharge petition to force the bill on Russian sanctions to the floor. Let them know it's your highest priority. Let them know that you're fine with them letting health care is before the Senate right now. And as we know, Trump care is basically just a massive tax benefits to wealthy people. To take away poor people's health care and give all that money to rich people. That's not a health plan. That's a Trump tax death plan. Kill Americans for tax money plan. But the House got nothing to do. Time for them to sanction Russia. And they claim to care about it. So if you have a Democratic representative, it's an easy call. Ask them to either start circulating a discharge petition or sign one if it is being circulated. And if it's Republican, ask them, are you really saying you prefer Vladimir Putin, treason, espionage, and Donald Trump, that you prefer them over the interests of the American people, that you support espionage and collusion and treason if it helps your president get elected? It's a fair question, and Republicans need to be asked it. Donald Trump refuses press conferences now. You may have noticed that. He doesn't even let his spokespeople do many press conferences anymore. When he does, he takes the cameras away. Sometimes he takes the audio away. He doesn't allow follow-ups anymore. This is a guy who's in hiding. Well, it's time that these questions be asked. And if Republican representatives won't answer these questions, it's time to get a Democratic Congress in 2018. This is Mark Levine, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
schooling the GOP, one hand tied behind his back, the Constitution in the other. It's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Who says nerds can't be fun? It's Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin, reporting on the breaking story. They have found the smoking gun in collusion. This is even closer than the other story. Remember that the Donald Trump Jr. and campaign manager Paul Manafort and son-in-law Jared Kushner, Ivanka Trump's husband, the very closest to Donald Trump. That's the story today. But it was a story just last week in the Wall Street Journal about a guy named Peter Smith who was working with Mike Flynn and let people know generally in the Russian government that they wanted any dirt they could get on Hillary Clinton. Now, here's the law. The law says that you cannot illegally coordinate, you cannot conspire to get substantial assistance. You cannot conspire to give substantial assistance to any foreign nationals, not just the Russian government, but any foreign nationals seeking to influence a federal election. And you don't even have to succeed. You just have to try. So when Donald Trump publicly says, hey, Russians, if you got laws, if you got emails of Hillary Clinton that you broke U.S. law to get, if you committed espionage, hey, hand them on over. I'd like to see them. Interestingly, they don't even have to break U.S. law, though they clearly did in getting those emails. It's illegal to give substantial assistance to foreign nationals seeking to influence a federal election. What would substantial assistance be? Well, let's think about it. Around this exact same time, a plank was changed in the Republican platform. Remember, Republicans have a long history of being anti-Russia, of being anti-communist. I mean, Ronald Reagan is busy rolling around in his grave because he wanted to fight the evil empire that was the Soviet Union and became Russia. So generally, there's very strong stuff in Republican Party platforms against Russia. And around the exact same time that Peter Smith and Mike Flynn and Donald Trump's associates, according to the Wall Street Journal, which, by the way, is owned by Rupert Murdoch, hardly a liberal newspaper, around the time that they're putting out feelers to the Russians, even closer to Donald Trump, his son and his son-in-law and his campaign manager are meeting with a woman. And they specifically mention that she's talking about adoptions. Well, adoptions are, we now know, the Russian government stopped U.S. adoptions in response to sanctions. And Natalia Veselnitskaya very much hates Russian sanctions. She represents a bunch of human rights abusers. She represents mass murderers. Mass murderers pay her bills. She loves people who rape and murder and torture innocent people. And she just wants to get them a visa to the United States. She wants to let them own property here. Why can't we be nicer to the mass murderers of the world, she argues. And if you do, hey, we'll let you adopt Russian children again. She's trying to influence policy. And in return, she promises dirt on Hillary Clinton. Now, already, she and Donald Trump Jr. differ on what they meant about. Trump Jr. first said it was just about adoptions. Later on, after the New York Times printed their story, Trump now says that, well, Veselnitskaya offered him information, dirt on Hillary Clinton, but she didn't provide anything really useful. It wasn't that great dirt. But in return, they talked about adoptions, which all relates to sanctions, which all relates to providing substantial assistance to foreign nationals to influence our election. Now, that's a crime. And anyone who doesn't believe that Donald Trump Jr. or Jared Kushner or Paul Manafort or Mike Flynn talked to their boss and or father about this, well, then you also believe Mexico is going to pay for a wall. This is strong stuff. This is stronger than obstruction of justice. This is stronger than merely firing Comey to obstruct an investigation. This is stronger than anything Richard Nixon did in Watergate. Much, much stronger. And the investigation's only beginning. This is just the beginning of it all. I imagine every Republican in the country is hiding. I'm going to try to find some, and I have some friends. Try to bring them on the air. See if they're willing to discuss this. No one can justify this. And the question will come whether the Republican Party supports their party or their country first. And I don't know what it's going to be. In fact, if I had to bet, I bet the majority of Republicans, at least of elected Republican officials, will put their party ahead of their country, because I've seen it happen time and time and time again. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they care more about their country. Because we have to worry right now about upcoming elections. Virginia has elections in November 2017. The nation has elections in 2018. And already Donald Trump is not doing anything. His administration is not doing anything to protect our security. Indeed, people within the industry, people within the government are calling upon the administration. State election officials are calling upon the administration to put in place adequate security measures. Republican and Democratic secretaries of state all across the country are saying they need information to protect their systems from cybersecurity, from Russian hacking. And, well, Trump's denying them the efforts. They're not responding. I think Trump wants the Russians to hack the elections again. It's a nice symbiotic relationship between Vladimir and Donald. Donald gets the praise his empty soul needs from Vlad. He gets to be elected president, which he didn't really want to be. He just wanted to make a lot of money off of it. But getting to be president allows him to make tens of millions of dollars on the backs of the American people just by using the presidency as a way to make his family rich. So Donald gets a lot from the Russians. And what do the Russians get? They get Crimea. They get to occupy and take over and invade a foreign nation and make it part of their country. Not just Crimea, but eastern Ukraine and parts of Georgia. They get to strut on the world stage and make Europe scared. They get to be involved in North Korea negotiations. And most importantly, they get to keep their brutal dictator Bashar al-Assad in power, even as he is murdering the opposition, the moderate opposition supported by the United States. And they get their warm water port in Syria, which they love so much. It's a win-win relationship. The only people who lose, well, are the American people and the Syrian people and anyone who cares about human rights in the world and anyone who cares about democracy in Russia. This is a symbiotic relationship. This is collusion. This is the very definition of collusion. And I really think we need to start calling it something else. We need to start calling it treason. Because what Benedict Arnold did to the British militarily is really equivalent to what Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump are doing electorally. They are violating the law to allow a foreign power to control us. And thus making, well, the enemies of human rights more powerful all over the globe. It's time that Democrats are not the only voices calling them out. Lindsey Graham, John McCain, keep speaking up, speak up more loudly. It's time that we band together as an American people to protect ourselves from the Putin-Trump alliance. This is Mark Levine. I'll be back on Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Tune in then.